royalty must not be discomposed. The Persian monarch ruler was only allowed to see bright raiment. This Persian ruler was only allowed to see the loveliest of flowers. He was only allowed to see pageantry, smiling faces, lovely women, and singing choirs. No glimpse of woe could stir his serenity. Nothing disagreeable could come before his eyes. No discordant note could fall on his ears. No taste of wormwood, nothing bitter, can ever touch his lips. And no foul odor can ever enter into his nostrils. This monarch king would allow nothing negative to ever be brought before him or said in his presence. And no one dressed in sackcloth could enter into his presence. Now you say, preacher, why couldn't this king or wouldn't this king allow anybody dressed in sackcloth to come before him? Simply this. Sackcloth represented something undesirable. Sackcloth, in the first place, represented sin and repentance. For when a person in the Bible sinned, he signified his repentance from that sin by wearing sackcloth. When the people of Nineveh repented under the preaching of Jonah, the Bible says the king put on sackcloth. And the people put on, and by the way, even the animals had to put on sackcloth. Are you listening? Are you listening? Even the animals had to put on sackcloth. Why? Because the sackcloth being worn by the king and the people and the beast represented the people admitted they had sinned, and in an admission of that sin, they are now repenting of that sin and turning to God. But the king would have nothing like that brought before him. For every time the king saw sackcloth, it reminded the king of sin and repentance. And this king wanted no reminder of sin brought before his presence. And so nobody could wear sackcloth in the presence of the king of Syria. When Jacob repented, the Bible says he dressed in sackcloth. When David got right with God, he put on sackcloth. When they had the great revival under Hezekiah, Hezekiah and his people put on sackcloth. And the king refused sackcloth. He wanted no reminder of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what sin so often is? Usually is. Sin is people trying to forget what sin really is. You see, the devil does not want us to admit that sin is sin. The king refused sackcloth because the king wanted no reminder of sin. Though the king was a sinner, he wanted no reminder of that sin. He's like the liberal and the average person sitting in a pew. They want a worship service, but no reminder of sin. They want the candles, but no reminder of sin. They want to come to church and have their religious experience, but no reminder of sin. And the trouble with the churches in America today is hardly ever does anybody anymore preach against sin. America says, give us peace, but there is no peace. Folks do not want to be reminded, this is right, this is wrong, this is white, this is black, this is good, this is bad. We want to say, don't bring any sackcloth into our presence. We want to call alcoholism a disease, not the sin that it really is. We want to call homosexuality a preference and not the sin that it really is. These self-styled elite call sin error, accident, inexperience, indecision, disharmony, misdirection, imperfection. Call it what you want to call it, but it's still sin. And so the king said, nobody can come before me dressed in sackcloth, because that sackcloth reminded the king of sin. They put a patch of purple on the running sores of sin. These people put silk and satin over the leprosy of human nature. They put in sackcloth must not mar their synthetic happiness. Leaves and flowers cover the venom. of the serpent. And loud music drowns the serpent's hiss. You never hear a liberal preach on Numbers 32:32. Be sure your sin will find you out. You never hear a liberal preach on Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. You never hear a liberal preach on Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You never hear a liberal preach on Romans 5:12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why? Because nobody wants to face the fact of sin. But let me tell you something. You'll never face the fact of eternity until you face the fact of sin. You've got to look at it. Hide it though you will. Your sin is still there, and something must be done with your sin. You will never settle the sin question until you settle the sin question. He who is not first lost will not be saved. He who has never done wrong will never seek right. He who has never been to Sinai will never come to Calvary. And that's why they don't like the mourner's bench. Because the mourner's bench reminds them of sin and repentance. And that's why they don't like the altar call and the soul winning. Now listen to me. Don't pull a veneer over your sin. Face it. Don't be like the king of Persia who said, I'll not face any sackcloth. No one can come to my presence wearing sackcloth because that reminds me of sin and that reminds me of repentance. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that the people of this nation need anymore than to be reminded of our sin. And there's nothing America needs anymore than she needs to be reminded to repent. The Lord Jesus came saying, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And let me tell you, I've said so often this, but the truth is, the difference in Jesus and without Jesus is this. Jesus helps you to be happy in reality. And the world makes you happy if you can escape reality. But you go ahead and drink your liquor and escape the reality of your sin. But when you sober up, you've got to face it again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You go ahead and take your dope and escape reality. But when you come back from your high, you've still got to face an issue. You have sinned before God, and something's got to be done with that sin. I thank God today that I'm happy in my problems and not by escaping my problems. I'm a happy person. I am. If I get criticized, and I do, I guess my main criticism is maybe cutting up a little bit too much. But you know why? Because I'm happy. Well, you say, well, how? You must not have any problems. You haven't got the foggiest idea of the problems I've got. But see, I have something that makes me happy in my problems and not something that makes me require an escape from my problems. You see, the best thing to do is this. Face it. Don't escape your sin. Don't turn your back. And don't say, no sackcloth will come before me. You face it. You got to face it. You, by nature, are a sinner, and you and I have chosen to sin. And something must be done with your sin, or you're going to die and go to hell someday. Now, you try to avoid reality all you want to, like the king did. But that king's in hell today because he wouldn't face this matter of sin. And nobody will ever go to heaven until he has said, I have sinned. But you say, Brother Howe, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll turn over a new leaf. And that'll take care of my eternity. No, it won't. I know what you do. You folks that owe some back income taxes, just write Mr. Uncle Sam and say, son, wake up on the front here and listen to me. Hey, wake up. I can't let you sit there and I sleep every Sunday. I want you looking at me while I'm preaching. Wake up. I told you Sunday after Sunday now. You pay attention. Folks in the choir are watching you instead of me. Now listen to me. This is life or death. I mean, somebody's got to tell you you're a sinner. And somebody's got to tell you something that can be done with your sins or you'll face God without hope. Now listen to me. You try the income tax people. You get right Uncle Sam and say, Uncle Sam, I owe you $10,000 in back taxes, but I got some good news for you. I've decided to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to pay from now on. You can count on me, Uncle Sam. You'll get my check on time from now on. Uncle Sam writes back and says, I'm sorry, but you owe me $10,000 in back taxes. You write him back and say, Uncle Sam, I've decided to get baptized. You'll be glad to hear this. I've decided to get baptized. Mr. Reagan, I decided that I'm going to get baptized. And you'll be glad to hear that. Not only am I going to pay my taxes from now on, I'm going to get baptized. They'll write back and say, $10,000 due plus interest since your last letter. Then you write back and say to Uncle Sam, you'll be happy to know I've decided to join the church. And now you'll be glad to know I'm going to start paying up. I'm going to pay from now on. I've been baptized. I've joined the church. And I'm going to feed the poor. And you'll be glad to know that. If you get by without paying your back taxes, let me know. Because I'd like to use the same method you use. Now you listen to me. There's not one iota of justice in the fact that if you start anew living right, that you're still going to go to heaven. You've got to do something with your back sin. The wages of sin is death. And if you from this moment forward never committed one sin in your life, you still owe some sin debt for your sins, and the sin debt must be paid. Face it. Face it. Face it. Your sin. Your sin. Oh, if this old country needs anything today, she needs a bunch of preachers to cry aloud and remind America, we've got to face God someday. Face your sin and face the fact that you've got to repent. Look it square in the eye and say, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And then you face that with Jesus and you can face reality and still be happy. The only difference in you and I, if you're not saved, is I am a sinner and I'm facing my sin with Jesus. And you are a sinner and you won't face your sin. But you say for the Hiles, I am a PhD. But you are a sinner also. But you say, I am a man of great wealth. Then you are a wealthy sinner. But you say for the Hiles, I am a man of great power and great influence. Then you are a powerful, influential sinner. I mean, Mr. Reagan's got to face God for his sins just like the guy that sleeps out the White House. I mean, you've got to listen. The king said, don't bring that before me. No discord music shall fall upon my ears, and no ugliness shall come before my eyes, and no undesirable aroma shall enter my nostrils, and nobody shall come before me wearing sackcloth, because the king did not want to face it. He is a sinner. And those kings aren't all dead. I'm talking to folks this morning living in sin, but you, it's not a sin. I'm talking to folks this morning who are unwilling to face it. Listen, I've watched folks come down the aisle when we have funeral services. Brother John, you've seen it again and again. The folks walk down the aisle, and if they're saved, they look in the face of that corpse. And they may weep, but they'll pat him on the face or kiss his forehead, and they'll say, I love you, George, or I love you, Daddy, or I'll see you later, son. But you watch that crowd of people that never have faced the sin question. You watch them walk down the aisle. They walk, when they get about that third pew from the front, they start looking away. And they slide by that casket, and they won't look in the face of that corpse. You know why? Because they do not want to face the fact of sin and death. Now what you better do is look it square in the eye. You better say, okay, I'm a sinner. And you just take Jesus and throw him right in the middle of your sin, and you can face it, a sinner saved by grace. But you say with the house, how do you get happy? Well, that's what makes us happy. We stop and realize we are sinners saved by grace. That's what makes us happy. That's most of our song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a perfect person like me. No, sir. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Loose all their guilty stains. Roll away, roll away, roll away. Every burden in my heart rolled away. You're not looking this morning at a man who's happy because he's perfect. You're looking at a man who's happy because he's imperfect, but Jesus has forgiven all his imperfections. You're looking at a man who's happy not because he's righteous in his own good and merit, but because he's righteous in the precious righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you'll never know that till you face it. Don't do like the king. Don't bring me any foul odor. Don't bring me anything that doesn't look good. Don't bring sackcloth before my eyes. I do not want to stand the presence of sin. But you've got to face your sin. Oh, how the flesh hates to kneel. How the flesh hates to give God the glory. How the flesh hates to admit its frailty. How the flesh hates to humble itself. All across the world this morning at this very moment, people are worshiping. They call it worship. High church, sevenfold amens, gloria patris, doxologies, all across America. And people come dressed in their loveliest garments to come before their God, look up at their God. But there's one thing they won't face, and that is their sinners. Their sinners. And until you face the fact that you are a sinner, you will never be right with God. I'm happy today, the writer said, and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will, they come to Him this day. What does it mean? It means that whosoever comes to Jesus today, I am a sinner, and I'm lost, and I know I'm lost. And bless God, I know you died for me, and I trust you as my Savior. Then, that doesn't give you joy by escaping reality. That gives you joy by facing reality with Jesus. There's something else that sackcloth represented. The king said, no sackcloth can come before me. I won't look at it. And they sent to Mordecai some other garments to wear. And Mordecai said, I won't wear it. But the Bible said, no man entering wearing sackcloth could enter into the king's gate. And that second thing that sackcloth represents is sorrow. Now, folks, listen to me. You're going to have to face the fact that life is full of burdens. You can't base your happiness because your stomach is full, because some days your stomach's going to be empty. You can't build your happiness because your pocketbook is full, because someday your pocketbook will be bare. You can't base your happiness on the fact that your body is well, because someday your body won't be well. You can't base your happiness because the sun is shining, because someday the sun will not be shining. You can't base your happiness on the fact that you have a job, because someday you will not have a job. Look at me. You have got to face the fact, folks, that life is wrapped up with clouds as much as sunshine. And you've got to face the fact that sometime you're going to have sorrow. And you've got to face the fact that if you'll face reality with Jesus, you can have fun in that sorrow. You can be happy in that sorrow. All across the world today, people are drunk. You know why they're drunk? Because they have sorrow and won't face it. They're escaping it. They want to face the fact. Listen, if your baby dies and you get drunk because your baby is dead, your baby is as dead as if you weren't drunk. And you've got to sober up and face the reality. Your baby is still alive. You men out here that live on the bottle. I mean, you may as well face it. Life is not always sunshine. Life is not always fair weather. Life is not always laughter. Life is not always prosperity. Life is not always plenty. Life is not always mirth. My life is not always fun. Life has some sad times too. But I'll serve notice today to you that with Jesus, the child of God is happier in his sorrow than the unsaved man is escaping his sorrow. That's what it's all about. Morning, people turn to dope and turn to liquor. By the way, that's what Hollywood's all about. I'll be honest with you. I just don't like to listen to anything or watch anything that's not real. I wouldn't give you a dime for all of it. Oh, I probably shouldn't say this. But I wouldn't. I just don't like fiction. I don't know. Somebody says to my brother house, what do you do to escape? I don't want to escape. I like it here in jail. What do you do to the house for? For diversion. I don't. Listen, brother, if you've got Jesus, you don't need any diversion. Well, brother Howes, do you ever get away and just do what you want to do? I'm away right now doing what I want to do. You say, why? Because I've got Jesus in my soul. The Lord Jesus didn't say, the Bible didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the grave. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Let me tell you something. You take Jesus and throw him into tears, and they'll be happy tears. You take Jesus and throw him into heartbreak, and it'll be a peaceful heartbreak. You take Jesus and throw Jesus into a recession, it'll be a delightful recession. Now, folks, you've got to face it. We got folks in this room this morning. Crack up because they can't face reality. Now, the honest truth is, life has its downs. And life has its sorrows. And life has its tears. And you can't say, I don't want to be reminded of those.
I used to play when kids were little. Sometimes even Melissa will do it now. I'm around her. We'll play hide and seek. Did you ever say, see the child say, come find me. Come find me. And that's exactly the way some of you folks this morning are doing about your troubles.
Hiding your eyes, but you're still not hidden.
He didn't want to see the hungry stomachs. He didn't want to see the ragged clothes. He didn't want to see the bare feet.
And we say in our day, don't show me the lonely aged in rest homes. Don't show me the orphans. It might ruin my day. Don't show me the widows. Don't show me the illegitimate children. Don't show me hungry clothes. Don't show me ragged kids. Hungry bodies. Don't show me ragged kids. Don't show me bare feet.
Whether you see them or not, they're still there. I wish everybody in this room would be forced to go to the ghetto of Chicago and spend a half a day.
Force you!
You drive down Dan Ryan Expressway and see Comiskey Park and see the outside of big, tall buildings. You ought to be forced just to get off the main road occasionally. You drive down Kennedy Expressway and see the veneer, but you ought to be forced one time to go back in where the poor people live and look at it and see the ghetto and see the filth and the poverty and the disease and the heartache and heartbreak that's really there. But you won't bother. Don't bother me. You might have to put some clothes on a cold body if you saw them, mightn't you? You might have to put some food in a hungry stomach if you saw it, mightn't you? You might have to put some shoes on cold feet if you saw them, mightn't you? And so you say to the king, I don't want to see it. Don't let me see it. Queen Antoinette, when she was married, on the pathway to her reception, she ordered, no poor person can be visible. No poverty can be visible. She said it might mar the joy of my wedding reception if I had to see poverty, disease and suffering on my way to my reception. And while we're on our way to eternity, the average person in this house is the same way.
Don't let me see poor. Don't let me see the disease. Don't let me see the aged. And whether you see them or not, they're there, and you better face it.
And they need your help, and they need your love. The quicker you face the reality of life, I wish I could force some of you down to Mexico where I was a few months ago. Wish I could force you to get off the guided tour. Get off the scenic route. And go back where I saw boys and girls using the bathroom in their backyard with not even an outhouse. Where I saw little ladies cooking in their houses where they couldn't even stand up straight because the ceiling wasn't high enough for them to stand up while they cooked. And they're cooking on stones, heated stones. Yet we sit here this morning, like the Israelites of old, on our beds of ivory, with our lovely houses, and our carpet wiggle our toes in, and our air-conditioned cars, and our lovely yards, and our lovely surroundings. And we say, don't bother me. I'm busy. Don't let me see any sackcloth. It might keep me from enjoying the day. And while we do that, a hungry world gropes for food, a lonely world gropes for comfort, And a naked world gropes for clothing, and a sad world gropes for joy. And it's time that God's people said, okay, trot them on by. There are folks in this room that are not happy because these poor little bus kids come to our church. And I'll take one of those poor little bus kids, or I'll take 100 of you Pharisees that are too good to look at the poor kids. God's dear name, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us that has food for lunch ought to say, hallelujah, glory to God, how good God's been to me. And then after we finish, we ought to take some to somebody, some poor little somebody who has no food. And while we look at our closets full of garments, you know what I'm talking about, our closets full of suits, and drive our cars complain because the air conditioning is broken, and gripe and complain because of the troubles we have. The honest truth is we ought to say, bring the sackcloth and let us see what it's really like. And so the king said, don't bring me anybody clothed in sackcloth. Why? Because that might remind me of my sins. Don't bring me anybody clothed in sackcloth. Why? Because that might remind me I need to repent. Don't bring me anything nobody clothed in sackcloth. Why? That would remind me of sorrow. I want to see nothing bad. I thank God today, and I mean this. I thank God today that what beats in my breast this morning is something that cannot be dampened by hunger pains in my stomach, and something that cannot be a joy that cannot be dampened by an illness. I'll be honest with you. There are times when I walk up to a pulpit to preach across the country, and my voice is so tired, I wonder if he could make another sermon. There are times when I say, Lord, if I can just preach one more, that's all I ask for. And sometimes I wonder how long this old voice can hang on. But blessed be God, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm preaching right now, and I want to enjoy it. And I'm not going to let a few inconveniences and a few frets and worries cause me to have my life wrecked. I'm going to take Jesus and throw him right in the middle of all the trials, and then I'll face reality. And that's what's real joy. Listen, if you're only happy when the sun's up, you'll not be happy when it's cloudy. If you're only happy at noontime, you'll not be happy at midnight. If you're only happy when you're well, you'll not be happy when you're sick. But you take Jesus in your life and you live with him day by day, and you face the fact that life has thorns as well as roses, and life has midnights as well as noondays, and life has tears as well as smiles, and life has heartaches as well as delight and joy, and you just receive Christ and say, Jesus, and you come on now with me. And did you know what you can do? You and Jesus can have fun in a hospital room. Did you know you and Jesus can have fun when you're flat busted? Did you know you and Jesus can have fun when you're sad and troubles come and sorrows come? Best thing to do, folks, is face it. Accept it and let Jesus share it with you. I wish you could go to Egypt today, or Barbados, or the west bank of the Jordan River. You hear it, West Bank. I wish you'd go there. I wish you could see those little improvised huts and shacks. I get so sick and tired of hearing people who work for Ford Motor Company or Chevrolet or Dodge. I get so sick and tired of them talking about how they're having it tough. I don't know what to do. I mean, that family today who's living on food stamps in this room has it better than 95% of all the world has it this morning. The king said, don't bring me any sackcloth. Reminds me of sin. Pull the curtain. Don't let me see it. I don't like to see something that reminds me of sin. Don't let me see it. It reminds me of repentance. I don't want to think about repentance. Don't let me see it. Reminds me of sorrow. And then he said, don't let me see it. Your sackcloth reminds me of death. You know, it's time we took a good look at death. It's time we quit evading it. Look at me. Let's face it. These eyes are going to be closed in just a few years. Oh, you see, preacher, Think about it. Face it. You're not better off to face it than to escape it. And these lips will be stilled, and this tongue will be stilled. And these hands in just a few days will fold across my chest. And these feet will have taken me to this pulpit for the last time. And this heart will have beaten its last time. I've got to die, and the best thing to do is face it. Think about it. Oh, you said, makes me sad? Now think about it. Just like the king, aren't you? But you say for the house, if I think about it, I get sad. I can tell you how you don't have to be sad. Throw Jesus right in the middle of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If I drop dead this morning, don't you cry for me. I'll be playing tag with the angels before you have your hamburgers for lunch. You won't be at McDonald's before I'll be playing tag with the angels. Yeah. Yeah. When Hudson Taylor died, the lady who attended his death turned and said it was not death at all. It's time that the people of our country and the people of this church faced a few facts. It's time we quit hiding sackcloth. Time we quit saying with the king, don't come in my presence, don't let me see that. That reminds me of sin. Listen, you need to get reminded of sin and bring your sins to Jesus. That's what you need to do. Don't remind me of sorrow. Don't remind me of anything bad. Don't remind me of anything that might be a sadness or sorrow or tears. Listen, take your sorrows and bring them to Jesus. He'll give you joy in your sorrow. And you say it. Of the house, how about this matter of death? Be reminded of it. Oh, you say, I hate to go to the cemetery. Don't bother me. Well, you say, well, the house, when I go to the cemetery, I think that I'll be 6 feet under that ground one of these days. Not me. I'll be millions of miles up there one of these days. Yeah. You say, what do you think about when you go to the cemetery? I say, wouldn't it be good if the rapture took place right now? All these old tombstones just turned upside down. Up from the grave came the dead in Christ to rise to meet him in the air. You're better off to face it, folks. You're better off to face it. Look it square in the eye. I don't care what you've got. You're better off to face it with Jesus than to avoid it without him. Somebody this morning in this room, you're not willing to face it. Did you ever think of that scripture in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Did you ever know that doesn't say, fellas, if we ask God to forgive us our sins, he'll forgive us our sins? Didn't say it. So we confess them. Didn't say ask his forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he'll forgive us our sins. Didn't say if we ask forgiveness. If we confess them, if we admit they're there, if we look them square in the eye and say with David, I've sinned, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning you're a lot better off to face it. I've sinned. And bring your sins to Calvary. And say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I confess I've sinned. Please forgive me. And admit that you're a sinner. The happy person this morning in this room is not the person that says, I'm good. The happy person is one that says, I'm bad, but he loves me anyway. Did you hear that song a while ago? Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand some beauty may remain. When you come to God and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I've failed. I miserably failed. Oh God, forgive me and use me again. The Lord says, I'll use you again. And all of a sudden, you stop and realize that God has forgiven you. Gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart is strong. Buried in the deepest sea, oh, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Face your sins this morning. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'm a pretty good man. You got some sins you got to face. But you say, I'm wealthy. You got some sins you've got to face. But you say, I'm educated. I don't believe that. Believe it or not, you've got some sins you've got to face. And something's got to be done with your sins before you face your God. Face them this morning and bring him to the feet of Calvary and look in the face of the Savior and say, "Oh, God, I want you to forgive my sins, and I trust Jesus as my Savior." And you can sing, "Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free." This morning, if you've got your sorrows, I'm talking to people this morning, you got some burdens in life, you don't want to face them, and when you think about them, you want to forget them. Get me drunk. Give me a liquor. Give me a drink. Give me some dope. Let me watch a movie. Let me go to the disco. Let me go to hear some rock music. Hurry, quick. I'm about to think about them. Hurry. No. 10,000 times no. Look at life and realize that life has tears and face them with Jesus. That's what makes you happy. Don't shrink back from sorrow. Face it. Jesus. Talking to somebody this morning who's been given a few months to live, a few weeks or months to live. Don't try not to think about it. You're going to die. You're going to be in heaven in a few days. He said, "Oh, listen, I've said it so often, I'll never forget as long as I live. Old Dr. John Rice had a gun pointed at his head. And the fellow said, 'Yeah, you think you're so smart. I'm going to blow your brains out.' You folks never have to worry about that. And old Dr. John Rice, God bless his holy life, took his glasses off and looked up at him and said, 'You ain't going to scare me with heaven, buddy.' And I point my finger at old Beelzebub this morning and I say, 'You going back to hell? You're not going to scare me with death.' 'No, sir.' 'Yeah, stick your ugly tongue out at me and your serpentine hiss. Go ahead. You're not going to scare me, because the captain of my salvation conquered death. Up from the grave, he rose the mighty triumph on his foes. He rose the victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He rose. He rose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And he promised me that I too would rise to meet him in the air. Get on back to hell, old Beelzebub. You're not going to scare me with death. I'm going to look death square in the eye and say, 'Yep, it's coming.' Stick my tongue out at you and say, 'Going back to hell.'" He conquered death. Point your finger out of hell at me if you want to and say, "You're a sinner." I'll just say, "Yeah, but they've all been covered in Jesus." Yeah, and say, "But you got troubles in life." "Yeah, but listen, I know he's always with me." "Yeah, but you got to die." "Yeah, I know. Got to rise too." Yeah. And the king said, "Don't bring the sackcloth to my presence. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be reminded of sin. Get it away. Don't come before me with sackcloth. Don't come before me with the sackcloth. It reminds me of sin and repentance and sorrow and death. Take it away." That's exactly what's happening in church after church this morning. That's what's happening in tavern after tavern, and disco after disco, and 99% of all the movies that come out of Hollywood are nothing but trying to get your eyes off one thing, and that is, you are a sinner. Face it and come to Jesus. Oh, if I could sing this morning, I'd sing, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence." See, I fly with these people. I've flown with Stan Musial. I've flown with Harry Truman. I've flown with Robert Frost. I've flown with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I've flown with Senator Dirksen. I've flown with the famous pole vaulter Bob Richards. I've flown with Jimmy Stewart, the famous movie star. I've talked to a lot of them. And bless God, I want to make an announcement this morning. Every one of them, with their escaping of reality, are always envious of what I have. Because I don't have to go watch a couple of harlots wiggle down Sunset Strip to forget my burden. I just bring my burdens to Jesus and he lifts my burdens and takes them off of me and puts them on him, and I get the biggest kick out of watching him carry them. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided. My spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song.